Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, June the 15th, and welcome to our commentary. We're going to talk a little bit about Texas politics today, because a couple of big stories regarding Texas that I want to get into, a special election down in South Texas, as well as some new numbers that came out regarding Beto O'Rourke versus Governor Abbott. Some new numbers that came out that you may find interesting. But I want to begin with just briefly mentioning that President Biden issued a statement, I guess it was today or last night, saying that if the oil companies don't, I guess, produce more energy, that he's going to have to consider some emergency action. Exactly what that is, nobody knows, because we live in the United States of America and presidents don't have powers like that. Maybe he gets a little confused once in a while what country he's the president of. But I'm not exactly sure what he can do to tell an oil company, which is after all a private company, and thank God we have private companies in the United States. I'm not sure what he can do. He may be thinking about issuing some executive order, but that'll get shot in the courts like most of his other executive orders. So really what we're seeing is a president who's getting more and more desperate because they don't know what to do. That's just the bottom line. They have no idea of what to do. They've created this mess, and now they don't have any idea of how to get out of this. They're the ones who canceled the Keystone Pipeline. They're the ones who went after the oil industry early on, canceling leases here and there. And now, of course, they're paying the consequences. Everybody said, if you go after energy, the prices are going to go up. Well, they did. Everybody warned them about that. It's not a shock. He knew that was going to happen. But anyway, President Biden is getting very desperate, because every window that he opens, somehow there's a bad message on the other side of that window. So that's what that's all about. I wouldn't take it too seriously. I wouldn't take those comments too seriously, because as I said before, there's really not much that he can do as the president of the United States. You know, our presidents don't have those kinds of powers. That's the beauty of the American system, that presidents have limited powers, and that's the way it is and should be. Well, let's talk a little bit about a very important election here in South Texas. Yesterday, there was a special election down in Texas 34, meaning the 34th congressional district here in Texas. And that election was to replace a Democrat who was retiring or had left the Congress or whatever. And the election brought two Hispanics from that area. And the winner turned out to be Maida Flores, who is a conservative Hispanic woman from that area. I believe that she was born and raised in that area. Her father, she has often said this, that her father was a Democrat in that area. And I believe that, because not long ago, most people down there were Democrats. And she's married, and this is a fascinating story. She's married to a Border Patrol agent. And she obviously, one of the big issues in her campaign was the border. And I guess when you're married to a Border Patrol agent, you know the reality of the border as well as anybody. Well, she won the special election. So as a consequence, that district will now be run by a Republican congresswoman. And, you know, I was just listening to Karl Rove a minute ago, and this is the first Republican in that district in something like 150 years. So it's fascinating. It's fascinating. It's been, you know, five or six generations since a Republican has been in that district. Of course, the district has been redrawn several times over the years, so it's not the same district as it was 150 years ago. But nevertheless, those counties used to be run by Democrats, and now they're going to have a Republican congresswoman. And she's a very, very real person. That's one, you know, I've seen many times on interviews and so on. She comes across exactly, I think, as she is. You know, she's a woman from that district, a mother, a wife, who who doesn't like what's happening in their district. And that kind of takes us to what I think are the two reasons that she won. Number one, I think there is a total complete rejection of President Biden's border policies. What President Biden is doing on the border is a disaster. It's chaotic. And many of those towns that this lady will represent are on the border and they're being overrun by people. Their healthcare resources are being overrun. Their police is being overrun. They simply cannot handle the thousands of people who are just coming. And obviously, you know, their first stop is many of these cities on the border. So there's a total reaction to that and a negative reaction from the people who live down there. It's very interesting because if you listen to Maida Flores, her message on the border and her message on immigration is identical to Donald Trump. Identical. She says basically the same thing as Donald Trump was saying, and she's winning, and she's winning in a Hispanic district. Now, the fellow who ran against her, a man by the name of Sanchez, I don't know much about him, but he was also a pretty interesting candidate. For example, he was saying that he's very Catholic and pro-life. And I think, again, you know, that reflects the conservative nature of this district down in South Texas. So I think the main reason, number one, is a complete rejection, total complete rejection of the President Biden's border policy. I think the second reason is that, as a Democrat said to me one time a few months ago, he doesn't recognize the Democratic Party anymore, because the Democratic Party has moved so far to the left that it has disconnected itself, not just with Hispanics in South Texas, but with a lot of people across the country. The Democrat Party has become more a party of San Francisco values than a party of Texas values or suburban values or rural values. And I think this is hurting the party a great deal, with people like Maida Flores and lots of others down there. So you have a party moving to the left. You have a party that has adopted very radical positions, for example, on boys playing with girls, you know, these situations where a young man says that he's a woman and then he wants to play on the girls' team. Well, that's utterly rejected, not just by Hispanics, but by most Americans with any common sense. So it's really a rejection, as I say, of the President Biden's border policy, but it's also a rejection of where the Democrat Party is at the moment. It has become too woke. It has become too far to the left. It is too much anti-energy. Again, remember that in that district, not far from there are refineries, and there are people in that area who work directly or indirectly with the energy industry. And they're saying, hey, they want to take my job away. They want to destroy my employer with all of these misguided green policies that they are proposing. Again, don't send me an email saying that I'm a climate denier. No, don't send me an email saying that I'm a climate denier. No, I will simply say to you that I am a person who believes in reality. And yes, we can work for the eventual development of all these alternative energies. I'm all for that. But right now, the only thing you can put in your car and the only thing that can run these large industries that we have here in Texas is energy based on fossil fuels. So if you want to destroy that, you're going to be hurting the livelihood and the economy of Texas. And a lot of Democrats are learning the hard way that most people in Texas don't want to do that to our economy. So congratulations to Maida Flores. It's an absolutely wonderful victory. And of course, she has to run again in November. It's going to be a slightly different district in November. It'll be because when they redrew these districts, this particular district is going to be more favorable to a Democrat in November. But look, she got 51% of the vote. So she's got a good starting point, and she's going to be the I'm sure she's going to get a lot of support from the National Republican Party. So congratulations once again to Maida Flores. Now, an interesting poll came out. You know, we have not seen, I think I've commented this before, that we have not seen a lot of polling data on the race between Governor Abbott and Beto O'Rourke. In fact, the last poll that I saw was almost 6 weeks ago. They're just not doing a lot of polls on this particular race. Now, it could be for a lot of reasons. It could be that there are other things that they're covering. It could be because they would rather spend their money in other places, you know, all kinds of reasons, maybe some legitimate, other not. But anyway, we had not seen any polling data here recently between Governor Abbott and Mr. O'Rourke. Well, a new one came out yesterday. It was featured on Newsweek. And it's a fascinating poll because this comes after the event of Uvalde, Texas. And the poll basically has two scenarios. One is definitely voting, and the other one is leaning voting. So definitely voting for Governor Abbott, 48%, leaning 7%. So that means when you add those two up, he's at 55% roughly. On the other hand, definitely leaning or definitely voting for Beto O'Rourke, something like 30%, and leaning something like 6%. So the difference between the two, when you combine the two, the definite and the leaning, is like 56-37 or something like that in favor of the governor. That's a huge lead. That is a huge lead. I don't know whether I believe at this moment that Governor Abbott is going to win by 19. I always said that he was going to win between 7 and 10. That's roughly been my estimate all along. But you never know. You never know. He may go up to the double digits, particularly if there's a big wave in the country, and there appears to be. And what we just saw yesterday in Texas would suggest to me that there's a lot of Republicans who are going to vote. And if that were to happen, of course, that would increase Governor Abbott's numbers considerably. So, again, congratulations to Maida Flores for running a wonderful campaign and picking up, flipping a seat, as they like to say, from Democrat to Republican. Let me just say a couple of things before we go. I want to wish a very happy number 73 to Dusty Baker. Now, if you're a baseball fan, you know who I'm talking about. He was a great player, but today he's the manager of the Houston Astros. And as a player, he was one of my favorites. And as a manager, he's turning out to be a pretty good manager. He's already won like 2,000 games. He's been in a couple of World Series. So this is a winner. He's a good man, a good manager. And that doesn't happen very often, by the way, when a great player becomes a great manager. That's not common in baseball history. Usually the great managers are not great players. But in this case, you got both. You got a great player and a great manager. And the other one, I want to wish a happy number 84 to Billy Williams, who used to play for the Chicago Cubs many years ago when Ernie Banks used to play for the Cubs and Ron Santo and Fergie Jenkins was their starting pitcher back in the late 60s, early 70s. Well, Billy Williams was a great hitter, was just an absolutely great hitter. And he made it to the Hall of Fame in 1987. There was always a lot of questions about whether or not Billy Williams should be in the Hall of Fame because he didn't get 3,000 hits. But when you look at his record and the consistency of his batting career, no question about it. No, he was a great player. So we say happy number 84 to Billy Williams. And we say happy number 73 to Dusty Baker. By the way, the Astros are playing the Rangers this week. He's just a great manager. He's just a great manager, and he used to be a great player. Thank you for listening, everybody. Thank you for your comments as well. And this is Silvio Rento wishing you a great day, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.